fat, slow, white guy. I don't know if the Joker makes it to the NBA if he was born in the U.S. Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports and the Real Podcast. Appreciate you joining me once again, as always. Thanks for subscribing and watching, liking, sharing, commenting. Thanks for following along for the ride, as always. I appreciate you guys. So I teased it last episode that I got something special cooking up for y'all. And I've actually been putting this together for quite a while. But the timing hasn't worked out like I wanted it to, whether it was football season or whatever else it was. Life stuff happening. But it's something that I've been thinking about for a while. And others clearly have too, right? You hear it all the time. I've even mentioned it on this podcast. I had an episode where I talked about it a little bit. Or I brought it up a little bit. But I wanted to dig deeper into the topic. And that topic is Europeans or international players. We're going to use it synonymously in this episode. The comment that many are making, or the statement that many are making, that Europeans are taking over the NBA. You can find it. You can find many articles talking about it. You can find people online talking about it. Social media, coaches have talked about it. It just leaves us to wonder. Again, I've brought it up on my podcast. Are Europeans taking over the NBA? Or why does it seem like Europeans or international players are taking over the NBA? And as I listen to different people and I read different things, no one, to me, I haven't really found anyone that really tries to answer that question honestly, to honestly answer that question, right? I feel like people kind of circumvent the answer. Why are Europeans seemingly taking over the NBA? Europeans seemingly are the better players or the best players in the NBA now. Why is that? So before I answer that question, let me give you guys some history here for those of you who weren't alive back then. there's been, you know, NBA European players, right, international players in the NBA for a long time, right? Obviously not as much as today, but they've been in the NBA for a long time. So history tells us, if you were around back then, right, we had NBA players. In 1992, right, like Dream Team time, original Dream Team time, there were 23 international players in the NBA. Just 23. And that was including guys who actually moved here at a younger age, you know, had a chance to go to college or whatever, right? Mutombo, Dikembe Mutombo went to college here. Dream, Hakeem, went to college here. And others, right? They went to college here. They didn't come directly from Europe, EuroLeague, and came here to play, came here to hoop. Manute Bol's dad, right? For those of us who remember. So there were some non-American-born players in the NBA, right? 23 as of in 1992. You had guys, you guys remember Drazen Petrovic, all-time sniper. Man, life cut short, tragically. Drazen was that guy. Like, this guy went face-to-face with Jordan. And I remember him specifically, had the damn, you know, elbow pads and everything. Like, Cat was a hooper for real. Drazen Petrovic. Those of us who remember Sarunas Marcellonis, lefty. Detlef Schrempf was a baller, made all-star team with the Sonics, played with the Sonics. Vlade, of course, Vlade Divac. Tony Kukoc, remember, with the Bulls. Around the Tony Kukoc era, there's also this guy that played for the Celtics named Dino Raja. Probably wasn't as popular because the Celtics weren't really winning much back then. But I remember watching Dino Raja. I think he wore number 40. Then Sabonis came over, Arvidas. And, you know, some say this cat should have came over when he was younger. That's when he was dominant. I've seen the clips. He was. He was dominant in Europe. But he was still pretty good when he came here. Just old. By then, his knees was gone. But then you had Dirk. Dirk came on the scene, like, I think it was like an under-19 FIBA tournament or something like that, where he dominated the U.S. boys. I was like, oh, yeah, this cat's nice. The German, Dirk. Then Peja came, and Powell, and Mark Gasol, and so on and so forth. Like, all these guys came, and they balled out, and they succeeded. They had a lot of success in the NBA. But what happened was, there was also plenty that came over that were expected to do big, big things that were drafted, and the NBA invested in these cats. They were drafted pretty high, and it turned out to not do well. Probably the most popular one, and I don't want to pick on anybody, but probably the most popular one is Darko Milicic, who was famously or infamously selected ahead of Carmelo Anthony. And people think if Carmelo went to the Pistons, they're, you know, they have a pretty good run of championships. Maybe. But they took the chance on Darko because in Europe he was like that. He was like that. But Darko and others like him came and they didn't perform as expected. And as a result, Europeans kind of developed this label. They were soft. They were thought of as soft. They could hang with the boys. But fast forward 2023 season, right? There are now 125 international players in the NBA. 125 international players in the NBA representing 40 countries, at least on opening night. The NBA clearly wanted that. They wanted international growth. They have global outreach for kids, different programs, Basketball Without Borders. Like, clearly the NBA's wanted international growth ever since the success of the Dream Team in 92 got all popular and all these cats started coming over. Clearly the NBA has wanted that. So now we're at the point where the best players in the NBA are European. The top four players, again, not just European, international players. Top four players, Joel Embiid. Some will say Joel Embiid, well, he played, you know, AAU here. He came here at 16, I think. But he didn't grow up here. He didn't grow up in the system from 8, 9 years old, which is what cats are doing now, American kids are doing now. 8, 9 years old, they're in travel ball. So Giannis, Joel, the Joker, and Luka. Maybe the top four cats of the NBA. All non-American-born players. So that leads to the question being asked, and it's a fair question. Like, are Europeans taking over the NBA, man? That's a fair question. Are the days of the U.S. players dominating gone? That's a fair question. So check this out. I did a lot of research in this, a lot of digging, and I have some thoughts on it. So before I get into my thoughts, listen to this quote from Doc Rivers, and this is a Doc. Doc was being interviewed by Bill Simmons. You guys know Bill Simmons. And he said this to one of the questions that Bill Simmons asked him. All right, y'all check this out.
Young American players better watch out because the European players are better players coming into the league. They're better prepared coming into the league, and they're competitors. And a lot of our young guys are not. They play 6 games in a day. You know, they come to the league and they want to put on a show.
So Doc, head coach Doc Rivers, Doc gets a lot of hate. 3-1 series leads and all that. But Doc is saying what a lot of people have been thinking. The European players are balling. They're not just thriving. They're the best. And they're taking over the league. And the American players better watch the heck out. But why is that? Why are European players taking over? So here's my opinion. I'll get into the details. but I'm going to let the rabbit out the hat now. Here's my answer. My opinion is European players or international players, they're synonymous for this episode. The league wants the international players to succeed. The league wants European players to be the best in the league. And as I was thinking about it before I started really doing research, I was like, yeah, man, there's some reasons here and there. There's multiple reasons. But to me, the main reason why European players, international players are starting to dominate in the NBA is because it's been a strategy of the NBA for several years, and it's intentional. They're not going to admit it probably, but it's intentional that the NBA wants these guys to be successful, not only to be successful, but to dominate. And it makes sense from a business perspective, y'all. It makes sense. Why? First of all, competition for the American market is tough. All right? I mean, they're competing with the NFL all the time. You got NFL doing Christmas games on purpose now, Christmas Day games on purpose now. You know, the athletes, you know, it's competition all over the place. So it's probably better to go overseas to grow the overseas market, to grow the global market, because the NFL, they're probably tired of battling with the NFL, all right? So it probably makes sense to go overseas. So right now, the NBA makes $715 million annually from non-U.S. media rights, okay? Which is double what the NFL makes. The NFL is not that popular outside of the U.S. And I want to touch on that on a separate podcast, right? The NFL is not as popular outside of the U.S., so the NBA makes $715 million and non-U.S. media rights. 10% of their $10 to $12 billion annual revenue comes from global sources in the NBA. 10% of their $10 to $12 million in annual revenue comes from global sources. In the articles I was reading, preparing for this, the league, the NBA, expects to reach 200 countries in 50 different languages this year on TV. 200 countries, 50 different languages on TV. That's crazy coming from where the NBA came just 2.5, 3 decades ago. That's crazy. So it makes sense because globalizing is probably the way to go. More people in the world than just outside of the United States. More people who can become sports fans, who can purchase their merchandise, who can watch them on TV. More money, more money, more money. Duh. And it makes even more sense when you think about it why they would want the Euros and international players to be the face of the league. An example of this is with the Joker winning MVP in the finals and all of this. There's been a reported 66% growth of viewership from Serbia tied to the Joker because of the Joker and what he's doing. 66% growth in viewership of the NBA in Serbia. And that's just Serbia. Imagine elsewhere. So it makes sense from a financial standpoint for them to want to go globalize. The NBA is the fourth most popular sport in the world behind soccer, Olympics, and tennis. And I've experienced this personally. I remember, fresh out of college, I was working at a spot at a job. And, you know, we had some coworkers that came in from Brazil who were visiting. And I'm thinking, you know, Brazilians, you know, these guys are soccer heads, you know, and I start trying to talk soccer to these guys and they wanted none of it. They wanted to talk basketball. I'm like, since when did Brazilians do basketball like that? These cats were hoop heads coming from Brazil. Matter of fact, they didn't know the soccer I was talking about. Now, they could have been lying to me. But me, as having watched soccer growing up on an international level, I knew the Brazilian soccer players. I'm not just talking about Pele. I'm talking about cats like Romario and these guys. These cats they want to have none of it. These dudes wanted to talk about basketball and Kobe, and I'm like, damn. Basketball is a global sport. So it makes sense, all right? Financially, it makes sense. There's more to the world than just the U.S., as much as us Americans would like to think. You know, we run the world. There's more to the world than just the U.S., and it makes sense for the NBA to want to expand outside of our borders. But here's the thing. The more I dug into this, the more research I did, the more articles I read, not only has the NBA intentionally wanted to grow the game, not only that, but it seems, and that's just my opinion, it seems that the NBA has neglected U.S. players. So not only are they intentionally trying to grow viewership and intentionally trying to grow players to get players from outside the U.S. so they can grow viewership, to me, it just seems from reading some of these articles I'm reading, it seems that the NBA kind of intentionally turned their backs on the U.S. athletes, the youth development in the U.S., and made things in the NBA so that the foreign players can succeed. So here's a couple of things. Here is why I believe the Euros are taking over, or seemingly, right? Here's why I believe the Europeans seem to be taking over the NBA, and some would argue that they are taking over the NBA. All right. Number one, the NBA changed the rules. All right. Rule changes made the NBA so that European players will have a better chance of succeeding. That's just a fact, all right? They changed the defensive rules to make it easier. Now, they made it easier for casuals, right, to gain more fans. Adam Silver has talked about the fact that, you know, he didn't like, you know, the fact that there was a lot of too much physicality in the NBA when he took over. So he intentionally changed the rules so that, you know, to allow dudes to move, to showcase more skill, more scoring, to bring in the casuals, less physical. Great. But that, I've already talked about this, but less physicality not only has brought in the casuals, right, and the viewers, but less physicality has also benefited the Europeans, the foreign players. Not that they couldn't ball, but now they would have a higher chance to succeed. Because if you're the NBA and you invest so much money in developing somebody like Darko and these other players, and then they get here and they're a bust, you're not going to appreciate that. You just wasted your money. That's like companies who put out all this marketing money, you know, to bring in, you know, new customers and new clients only for, you know, somebody within their company to do something to tarnish their name and to make that customer leave. Like, I just spent all this money to bring this guy here, to attract this guy, to attract this employee, and then, you know, somebody else in my company makes him leave. He doesn't like the company. And that was happening at a pretty high clip for foreign players. So the NBA changed the rules, one, with the foul calls. They made it easier. And it's not just me that believes this. Listen to this quote from Dirk Nowitzki. All-time Dirk Nowitzki, who was a baller no matter what the era was. But listen to this quote from Dirk. "The game has changed," Nowitzki said. "When I came in, there were a lot of fours, power forwards, and fives, right, centers, close to the basket, rebounding and muscling, and then I was part of the change. The early 2000s when the game became more of a movement game again, less holding, less fouling. They got rid of the hand checks, which has been a constant point of conversation and debate. People wondering whether the hand checks are going to, you know, make a big difference. Yeah, they would. They got rid of, per Dirk, by the way, they got rid of the hand checks in the NBA, and that really helped me and all the European skilled big men," Nowitzki said. "They could play facing the basket. They could shoot, bring the ball up, joker. And I think that's something that we've seen the last 20 years, the big men getting more and more skilled, especially the foreign big men able to come in and do what they do." So that's one. All right? They changed the rules so that, you know, you couldn't body these guys anymore. You can have Dale and Antonio Davis at power forward and center, just big, muscled-up cats, you know, jack dudes, fouling the hell out of dudes, holding them. Ben Wallace, they couldn't have that no more. And I don't know if it was intentional. May not have been. It was. They were definitely trying to get more viewers and more scoring. But it's also had an unintentional effect in allowing European players to succeed, to play better. Gives them a better chance, I should say, to succeed. Another thing that changed is less confrontation. If you guys remember, the NBA was starting to get a reputation, especially with Allen Iverson and cornrows. People didn't know cornrows from dreads, from like they didn't know anything, right? But they knew the baggy pants, and there was fights, the Malice at the Palace. Like, a lot of these things that were happening, honestly, were intimidating the foreign players. If you're not used to playing with dudes talking trash in your head all the time and elbowing you and getting ready to fight you, that stuff can be intimidating. So part of the NBA changing the rules was also giving you text for everything. So now Giannis gets a text for growling. Unnecessary text just for growling after a dunk. He can't be too excited. You can't show too much excitement in the NBA anymore. You can't go nose to nose anymore with somebody and just break it up with no text. Like you're gonna get kicked out of the game. You can't do no hard fouls anymore. All that to me, it may not have been intentional, but it has provided a great benefit in helping the European players to succeed. So the NBA went from the streets, from the style, like I said, the baggy jeans and, you know, hip hop influence culture, to the NBA's kind of a country club. Ain't no more cats talking trash no more. There's no more Rasheed Wallace's, no more Kenya Martin's and Ron Artest's. Like, these guys are no more. The NBA outlawed these cats who were essentially kind of intimidating to foreign players, if we're being honest. Like, again, if you didn't grow up in that environment, if you didn't grow up with dudes talking hella trash and it not getting into your skin, it was probably not good, not a good situation. It got in your head, it affected your game, and as a result, you didn't want to play. Again, if the NBA pays so much money and invests so much to get these guys here, and then you have these cats, you know, who do all this stuff to get them out of there, that's not good business. Like, Draymond's really like the last of the Mohicans. He's like the last man standing when it comes to, you know, dudes who will get in your face and get a tech. Every now and then you'll see these guys a little bit of scuffle, but the guy who consistently, you know, talks trash and is brash and gets in your face and, you know, can be intimidated for some cats who ain't used to it, Draymond's like the only cat left. Whereas back in the 90s, you know, early 2K, like, every team had like one or two enforcers. Like, you weren't just going to run wild and talk trash and nobody on the other team say nothing. So Draymond, back in the early 2K, wasn't going to sit there and put somebody in a sleeper hole and nobody did nothing about it. Like, he probably would have got hit in the face, right? So Kenyon Martin ain't going to sit there and watch Draymond do that. He's not. Ron Artest, Draymond's probably not messing with him. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way it is. So Draymond is like the lone policeman now, the lone ranger in the NBA doing this stuff. And I'm sure Adam Silver like can't wait till this cat retires. So the NBA got rid of that. So any little altercation now, any little trash talking, any little screaming that's too much, any kind of five that's a little bit too hard, like you're getting attacked, you're getting ejected, you're getting a flagrant one, escalated to flagrant two, you're gone. Peace, man. We ain't trying to have that. So while that may not have been the intention of the NBA initially, right, they probably just thought, again, this is just me speculating, they probably just thought, well, we'll do this, you know, to get more viewers, to make it more high scoring, to appeal to an audience that's not used to, you know, guys fighting all the time, even though Europeans watch hockey and them jokers fighting all the time. But maybe it's just the black guys fighting that's not appealing. I don't know. We're not going to go there today. But anyway, the NBA sees all this and like, nah, we can't have that if we're trying to grow worldwide. We're trying to be global. We can't have all this fighting. We can't have all these guys getting texts and getting up in these refs' faces and cussing the fans out and Malice at the Palace, Steven Jackson. We can't do that. We can't do that. We can't have these bums in the NBA. So they got them out. But I believe an unintentional consequence of all that has made it easier for the foreign players to ball out, because now not only they don't have to worry about the physicality of dudes holding and grabbing them, they could move freely and do what they want to do. Now they also don't have to worry about somebody in their ear talking trash and trying to intimidate them. They could just come out there and hoop. Unintentional consequences. Kind of like Viagra. I don't know nothing about Viagra, y'all. But Viagra wasn't made for those who don't know. Viagra wasn't made for what it does now. Listerine. Listerine wasn't made initially to be a mouthwash. Listerine was an antiseptic cleaning solution. That's what it was originally designed for. And now it's a mouthwash. Plenty of things have been repurposed. It wasn't the intentional, it wasn't the intent of the manufacturer, of the creator initially. So I don't think making it better for you, maybe it was, but I don't think making it better for Europeans and making it easier for Europeans was the intent of the NBA initially. But it certainly provided great benefits so that now these catchers just come in, move freely, hoop, go home. They ain't got to talk trash. They ain't got to worry about elbows from Ron Artest. They ain't got to worry about putting the deuce up and defending themselves. They could just ball. So, yeah, number one, the rules change. Not only freedom of movement, but also dudes being able to ball without worrying about dudes in their faces, Ron Artest talking trash and messing up with their mental. That's why a lot of people thought, you know, when Luka was coming out, a lot of people thought, you know, Luka probably wasn't going to be able to succeed. People doubted Luka's ability to succeed in the NBA because they thought it was an old NBA. They thought it was the physical NBA. They thought it was an NBA where dudes were shoving and elbowing and bodying dude. Nah, man, it's a new league. Luka don't have no peers. Luka don't have nobody to body him, but because you can't body him. So now Luka's actually the one bodying. And now the foreign players are actually the ones that are aggressive and bodying dudes. And making faces at dudes. And being the big bad bullies. Now the foreign players are doing that. Giannis is the big muscled up cat. And Nurkic is big. And Zubac is big. And nobody can stop Luka. Not that Luka wouldn't have dominated it in the 2000s or 90s. Like Luka's game is... it's a classic game. He would have dominated regardless. All right? He's like that. He really is. But a lot of people didn't think Luka would succeed because they thought the game would be too physical for him coming over because that's what it was. That's what hampered a lot of Europeans in the past. But that's not the case anymore. You can't body these guys. You can't yell at them. You can't get under their skin anymore. So it may not be easier. Listen to me, y'all. It may not be easier for European players to get to the NBA. But it's definitely becoming easier for them to succeed once they make it in the NBA. I don't know the mechanics of how to get them, how they get here. They probably go to different EuroLeague, you know, academies, whatever they do over there, right? They still got to get exposure. And I'm sure that's getting easier as well with technology and things like that, right? And communications improving. But it may not be easier for them, like easier than local players, domestic players, American players to make the NBA. But it's definitely getting easier for them to succeed once they make it to the NBA. Because now they could move freely and just play their game. They could just hoop. They ain't got to worry about nobody bodying them and getting up in their face. So that's one reason why there's advantage, all right, for European players. Second reason why they have an advantage and why they seem to be getting better than NBA players. The fact is they're... development and coaching is way better than what we currently do in the NBA in the United States, all right? Much, much better. And it's sad to say, but it's much, much better. So y'all listen to a couple videos, watch a couple videos that I have here. The first one is from Anton Jameson, former Tar Heel great Anton Jameson. And the second one is from Coach Popovich talking about current players coming into the NBA right now, all right? Y'all check this out.
Jamal Moses is a good friend of mine. I had him in Cleveland, and I congratulated him when he got the job, and he was like, Torin, I'm teaching them how to set a proper screen. And he's not talking about rookies. He's talking about guys that have been in the league for 2 or 3 years, and I'm just like, you know, we learned that in college. Fundamentals mm-hmm. and things of that nature. So
high school.
The game of basketball has changed. I mean, imagine us playing in today's game.
That's funny, man. That was Anton Jameson on the No Chill podcast with Gilbert Arenas. setting picks, setting screens. U.S. development sucks. Listen to Coach Pop. Hall of Famer Coach Popovich.
There's more fundamental teaching done now than I had to do when we were a championship caliber team. That was more making decisions during games, calling a certain play, drawing a certain play, making a certain substitution, looking for mismatches. You know, the mechanics of the game of chess while the game is going on, because those guys knew what they were doing and they were fundamentally sound. These guys are neophytes, and we're not at that stage, so this is more positioning on the court, spatial relationships, man and ball, all the stuff that they would do in college, but they didn't go there. And if they did, they went for a year. So it's a different kind of teaching. The game stuff, I don't get to do quite as often.
Cats are being taught the basics. American kids, according to Pop, according to Anton Jameson, they're being taught the basics. Because these guys are coming in with very little fundamentals. They have a lot of athleticism. They're way more athletic than their predecessors as a whole. As a whole, they're more athletic than previous generations. But as basketball players, they ain't it. And that is because of our development and our coaching and our youth development in the U.S. So the Europeans, they enjoy better coaching. They enjoy a better environment for development, more structure. In the U.S., it's more dog eat dog. It's privatized. I've talked about this before. The capitalism, which runs the U.S., also runs our youth development. So having the kids' best interests at heart is not part of the U.S. growth process anymore. Developing kids is not part of the U.S. growth process anymore. It's how can I make money off of these cats? Get these cats to the league somehow so that I can make money. U.S. focus on athleticism, individualism. Versus Europeans, they focus on team ball. The coaches in the NBA have talked about that. Pop and them. They talk about that. The lack of fundamentals, right? They're not playing team ball. They know how to hoop. These guys can hoop, no doubt. Like, NBA players, don't misconstrue this. They don't suck. They can hoop. One-on-one, NBA players can still get a bucket, no doubt. Matter of fact, I'll go as far as to say, like, if we had, like, a one-on-one king of the court type of tournament, an American player is probably going to win that tournament because our guys are still buckets. They can still get bucket. Unfortunately, just getting buckets is not what five-on-five basketball is about. So that actually confuses a lot of modern fans nowadays because a lot of modern fans see guys being able to hoop. They can hezzy. They can tween and dribble and hit the pull-up and step backs and the James Harden step back. They assume those are great basketball players. No, they're just those are guys that just know how to get buckets. They're hoopers. Basketball is still 5-on-5. So the cats who can play basketball even without all the fancy moves can still be the team that's full of athletes doing all this stuff, don't know how to set a pick right, like Pop is talking about, like Anton is talking about. Cats who don't know how to set a good pick. Cats who don't know how to go back door. Like, literally don't know how to play 5-on-5 basketball. And even those of us who aren't in the NBA, we just play regular pickup ball, we notice it. We notice it. The difference in the generations, those of us who grew up and played basketball, you know, 90s, 2000s, we know how to set picks. We know when to set picks. We know when to go back door and to cut. You play with some of these guys nowadays in the gym, the younger cats, they're going to stand there and try to watch you. Like, bro, I'm too old. Come set a pick. Help me get open. Help your team get open. Guys don't know that anymore. Help your teammate get open. Help your teammate get a bucket. It's not just about you getting a shot. These guys don't know that. So I can imagine, even in the NBA, our process does not develop kids. It's just all about athleticism. There's more patience in Europe. There's more development that happens in Europe. And yes, that athleticism, it can mask the IQ. It can mask one's knowledge of basketball. That's a lot of reason why a lot of the cats today in the NBA are still in the NBA, because their athleticism allows them to mask the fact that they're not great basketball players. So they can still out-athlete the Euros and the foreigners coming in. So, yeah, and our athleticism brings in the casuals, too. The nasty dunks, the hezzies, the tween-tweens, behind-the-backs, all that. The step-backs, all that brings in the casuals, no doubt. AAU and travel ball is not in the best, currently, in its current model, AAU and travel ball is not in the best interest of our kids and our youth development. And I've talked about that. The biggest pipeline for basketball in the NBA currently is AAU. And it sucks right now. There's no fundamentals. It's all about winning and about being an athlete. There's a ton of sponsored leagues and sponsored teams. You know, Nike and Adidas got their joints and eyeball all this stuff. Like, there's a ton of stuff out there. And none of these things are looking out for the development of players. They're looking for athletes. Nike is looking for the next Jordan and the next LeBron, the next Kobe, the next Zion, the next Ja, the next guy who's going to be wearing their shoes and market their shoes. Nike is not looking to develop great basketball players, unfortunately. Who are these athletes who we can promote so that by the time they get to the league, we can run campaigns around them and have them sell $1 billion worth of shoes? That's unfortunate. These guys aren't looking to develop basketball players. They're looking to market athletes. Adidas, like all these shoe companies now, have their own like thing, travel ball leagues, their circuits. And it's unfortunate. Everybody has their own circuit now. Nobody is looking out for the player and the players, the youth, to help them develop. So there's still amazing talents. They're still great athletes, but they're not great basketball players. They don't bring much else to the table. Again, these cats ain't cutting for you. They're not trying to D somebody up like that. Nah, man, let me get mine. How can I get mine? That's the current state of basketball. Like, the Joker, our development process is so messed up. Like, I don't know if the Joker makes it to the NBA if he was born in the U.S. Fat, slow, white guy? I don't know if the Joker makes it to the NBA because our process is not developing the Joker. Our process is not patient enough for the Joker. Our process ain't even patient enough for somebody like Nurkic. It's not. AAU is not the comfort zone. The style of play is more all-star game. It doesn't allow for somebody like the Joker to become great, to show his skills, to show his instincts, his passing, his vision. It doesn't allow that because he's not an athlete. He's just this big, fat, white guy. The first time he steps on the court, he's probably like getting put in when the game is like a blowout or something. He's on the bench probably. He's watching these other guys, you know, who all look the same, 6'3", 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", guys, you know, these athletes, the big men who are 6'8", 6'9", now, who can all run and jump, but nobody is really a true big man. Nobody has post-game like the Joker because post-game takes time to develop. Footwork takes time to develop. And it takes patience from the coach to teach you footwork. And it takes patience from the player. And the player can only have patience if he's actually has someone who's patient with him. But our kids are just thrown out there, thrown out in an AAU circus, play a million games a day, a weekend, and here, go run, go hoop. Show them what you got, homie. Show them what you got. So as a result, we don't have any true big men anymore coming through the U.S. pipeline. Look around, and I've said this multiple times on this podcast. Look around. How many centers do we have in the league from the U.S.? DeMarcus Cousins was like the last of it, the center position. AD is a power forward who can, like, footwork, give the ball down low, footwork, drop step, head fake, baby hook, whatever it was. Kevin Love was like that, but Kevin Love was real power forward. But he had the low post game, back to the basket game. It's gone. Part of that is lack of development. Like, our system cannot develop these kinds of players anymore because we're just looking for guys who can go, guys who can hoop. If you can put the ball in the rim, you can dunk, you can 360, you're going to get a shot more likely in these circuits. If you're a Joker, you look like the Joker, you're a fat white kid, unathletic, you're not getting any tit, no run at all in the U.S. So as a result, the U.S., honestly, is kind of lacking diversity. Uh-oh. U.S. youth development in basketball is kind of lacking diversity. The hot topic of the day. DEI. No, it is. Because if you're an athlete, whether black or white, if you're an athlete, you're going to get a look. But if you're slow, big, can't really move, black or white, you're probably not going to get a look. So the diversity in the U.S. game is gone. Everybody's essentially the same type of player. Slashers, athletes, right? So yeah, Joker doesn't make it, y'all. Bill Walton? Does Bill Walton make it in today's environment? As great as he was, Kevin McHale, these guys weren't fast, but they had game. They had instincts. And they could get you a bucket or make the right pass. I don't know. And I'm a take a sidebar here because I got a lot of heat over the summer when I did my episode on, you know, talking about how kids nowadays don't love basketball, and from my experience and coaching, you know, and I-9 and, you know, what are my experience with kids and how it's trickled up to the NBA. Part of that episode, I talked about the fact that AAU is problematic. And I got a lot of flack on social media from a clip I posted talking about the fact that AAU is a pipeline for the NBA and AAU ain't cheap. Parents have to spend a lot of money for their kids to go to travel ball and for AAU. And people are saying, well, if you're really good, AAU is free and this and that. What people didn't understand is that, yeah, if you're already good, AAU is going to be free. What about the guys who ain't good yet? How do we develop guys who ain't good yet if they have to pay to become good, if they have to pay to play? That was the point you guys were missing. How do you develop guys into becoming good if they have to pay for it? Their parents of the poor kid will not be able to afford them to become good. So somehow they have to already be good. That's why the NBA now, as I said before in that episode, the NBA now is going to be a cycle of people with money, people with access, people with connections, former players, former athletes, college athletes who now have the connections to get their kids to trainers and so on and so forth, the connections to market their kids so that they can make it big. Because how will you become good if your only access to actually hooping and the only access you have to people seeing you is these tournaments that you can't afford? Your parents can't afford. That's the point I was making, but people, for whatever reason, missed it. Yeah, if you're greater, if you're already Anthony Edwards, yeah, it's going to be free. But what's going to happen down the line when young Anthony Edwards isn't good yet? How does Anthony Edwards develop? How does the Joker develop if his parents are poor and he has to pay to play? He won't. So AAU and the circuit travel ball all year round has shrunk the pool of talent, and we don't realize it. Nobody's saying anything. And every kid is playing AAU and travel ball now. Like, I don't think coaches go to high schools anymore. There ain't no point. College coaches probably don't even go to high schools to recruit anymore. Everything is about AAU, travel ball. That's the point I was making. And a lot of people took it and ran with it. Well, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. And that's the insult. That's the insult on social media now. They need to stop making podcasting equipment. Stop selling podcasting equipment. Nah, bro. Take time to think. The poor kids now who are really good, yeah, they're going to get a look. But if you need to develop, you're not getting a look because how are your parents going to pay for you to get a look? So the people who are going to get a look are going to be kids of former athletes and with connections, their parents got money. The hood dudes ain't going. The poor kids ain't going to get a look, man. That's just the way it is. That's the truth. Lie to yourself all you want. So we've created a homogenous basketball environment, right? Our developmental environment for basketball is pretty much, you know, cats with money who all play the same style. Athletes. Joker has no chance growing up in the U.S. to make the NBA. Fat white kid, not even a little bit. unless someone somehow would have had their eye on him and say, hey, man, take a look at this cat. So that's the second reason, all right? Our development process sucks, so that by the time guys who actually do make the NBA, when they make it now, they're not basketball players. They're hoopers. They don't know how to set a pick to get somebody else open. Coach Pop is talking about they don't know spacing. Like, they don't know any of that. They just know how to get you in bucket. And sometimes that's needed. But more often than not, you got to learn how to be a basketball player, because there's only so many spots in the NBA for cats who only know how to hoop and get buckets. There's only so many spots. You got to be able to move off ball and set a screen and play defense and rotate and have IQ. Like, all of these things that come with actual playing basketball and not just trying to win and get your name out there at these tournaments. There's more to basketball than that. So that's the second point. Number three, competition. So European players can go pro at 16. Like, they can start playing professional basketball at 16. They're playing against grown men at 16. Ricky Rubio, from what I read, started playing at 14. U.S. kids, our kids can't get in the NBA till 19, a year after high school, after their high school graduation. They have to be on hold. They're on pause, whereas the Euros are playing against grown men starting at 14. Whereas the U.S. kids, they're growing up. They're reclassifying now. Whereas my age group, from what I remember, I don't think people were reclassifying. Cats were trying. We were playing against adults trying to get better. When I was growing up, cats wanted to play at the park against the adults to try to get better. Nowadays, our kids are reclassifying, trying to stay back a grade because they don't want to compete with some other cats who are really good. And then they're going to all these schools and dominating in high school. So you got IMG Academy and all these other places where they got 5-6 pros on one team and they're going around the country smacking these other little schools. So Cooper Flagg is either playing against kids who he has no business being on the court with, while cats in Europe are playing against grown men. And you're playing against grown men, you learn the physicality, you're just more prepared by the time you get to the pro level. Our guys are playing against thin-frame kids who are going to be nowhere near a pro court. And the NBA doesn't do them any favors, because the NBA forces these cats to go to college at least 1 year, or to be out of high school after 1 year, at least 1 year. But college is now a waste of time, because most cats don't even stay in college. They go to college 1 year. Like, back in the day, the best cats, a lot of them used to be staying like 2, 3, 4 years. Like, I remember growing up, North Carolina had Anton Jameson, who should be a Hall of Famer. Vince Carter was going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, they both cats stayed till they were juniors. Duke had Leitner and Grant Hill. Like, professional NBA players, you went to college, you were playing against professional cats. Nowadays, everybody leaves after the first year, even the dudes who ain't like that, who ain't going to be first-round draft picks in the lottery. Everybody's like, I'm done, man. I'm out of here. That's crazy. So the NBA, instead of, and listen, y'all remember my premise, the NBA wants this. The NBA wants European growth, and they want the Europeans to be better. That's my premise. That's my opinion. I'm just getting you there with these details. So one of these ways is that while the NBA forces our kids to go to college at least 1 year, right? Play, you know, they're playing in high school. They're playing, you know, running up and down the court in AAU. Nothing that resembles pro ball at all, actual basketball anymore. They go to college for 1 year and then they're done. They don't get to develop at all. There's no coaches there. There's no Dean Smith and Coach K to develop these cats anymore. Then the coaches that do want to develop, the kids come 1 year and they bounce. Stuff is sad, man, when you talk about it. Like, of course I'm going to be better than you if I get to play against professionals for 3-4 years. I get my weight up. I learn to deal with physicality. I learn actual basketball because I'm being taught basketball. I'm being taught how to set screens and to come off screens and to cut. Like, I'm being taught team defense. I'm being taught all these things, and they're developing me. The coach is invested in my success. Whereas in our side of things, coaches aren't invested in the guy developing. They're just invested in the dollars. And AAU, it's also all about winning and creating their brand. Oh, yeah, come be on my AAU team. And marketing the players if you're a shoe company. That's all it is. So guys aren't being developed, and their competition, even in our side of things, sucks. Because then their AAU teams are stacked. And their high school teams are stacked. So you have all these guys, you know, consolidated on one or two teams, and they're playing against, you know, guys they shouldn't be competing against. That's unfortunate. So, yeah, the Euros are going to be better. Of course. And this isn't just me. You know, again, I had these thoughts that, you know, hey, man, yeah, it seems like the Euros are better. And it kind of seems like the NBA is kind of, you know, part of that, right? Got a hand in making that happen. So I read on this, and I came across this article, and that solidified it for me. I'm like, this is the 100%. The NBA 100% knows what they're doing, all right? I'm going to just say it flat out. The NBA 100% knows what they're doing. So I ran up on this article on basketballnews.com. The writer of this article, he was interviewing, the writer is Alex Kennedy. Alex Kennedy, he was interviewing this guy named Troy Justice, who is the NBA vice president and head of international basketball development. This article is from May 2022. It's wild to read this because it makes it seem like the NBA knows how to knows what it takes to develop good basketball players, and they're intentionally allowing it to happen and making it happen overseas, but it ain't happening domestically. It seems like they've intentionally invested in overseas while neglecting the domestic players, the American-born players. So let me read some of this to you. So one of the questions. This was an interview between Alex Kennedy and Troy Justice. One of the questions Alex Kennedy asked is, with many international players dominating, I've heard fans wonder, is there something that international players are doing that American-born prospects aren't? How does an international prospect's path and development differ from an NBA player's path? I'm going to be reading quite a bit next couple of minutes here, but y'all stay with me. So here's what Troy Justice says with this one. One thing I'll mention, and this is an international concept. For example, in Africa, there's a saying, in the jungle, it's the hungry lion that hunts the best. And I really think it's the concept of really having to come in and prove yourself. There's humility, number one. There's a desire and hunger. So the work ethic is very strong. And I'm not saying that domestic players don't work hard. I'm not speaking negatively about them. Yes, you are. But I'm just speaking directly to the characteristics I see in international players. You know, the work ethic, the desire. I would say they are incredible learners, very humble in the way they approach it. So they're great listeners. They take coaching very well in the sense that it immediately translates into change and improvement in their game from IQ to skill set. And then finally, you typically see that they're really great team players. They're team first players with very little ego, usually, and they're very professional in their approach. Also, I would say that they're family oriented and community oriented. A lot of them come from places where this core value that sits within them allows them to not be self-focused or self-centered, but to be other-focused. And I think that allows them to be great teammates. This is the opposite of American basketball players, man. And the NBA knows this. You know that. You know that's what's happening overseas, but you allow this stuff to happen. You allow these dudes to play at AAU and to have poor fundamentals and to be poorly developed. You allow that. They say in coaching, you either make it happen or you allow it to happen. The NBA is allowing it to happen. They're allowing it. The NBA could do a much better job of determining how basketball development happens in the U.S., but they don't. The NBA has outsourced basketball. They're outsourcing basketball. They're not going to admit it, but they're outsourcing basketball. And again, it makes financial sense, but they're outsourcing basketball. Check out this other question. I've heard international players talk about how they grew up playing other sports, like soccer, whereas American players often hone in on one sport because they want to get scholarships or go pro. Do you think that international players that played multiple sports helps them in terms of their development and skill set? Troy Justice says, yes, 100%. Yes, 100%. That's one of the things that we recommend globally as part of our junior NBA global curriculum that we use around the world. When we developed that, we put together documentation on this with the experts in the field and multi-sport at younger age. Without sport specialization allows an athlete to excel further in the future, no matter which sport they choose. So this is not just an idea. This is stuff that experts study. It's stuff that's real. And so there's no doubt about it. So you know, NBA, that is good for kids to do different things and play different sports. People offline, non-experts, have been saying it for a while. Why are our kids specializing? Why are our kids playing baseball year-round and throwing out their elbows? Why are kids only playing basketball and killing their knees and getting ACL injuries at a young age? That's because they're playing AAU damn year-round. They're not doing anything else. They're not doing nothing else. That's why. Meanwhile, the NBA knows this. The NBA knows that cats back home are playing basketball year round. They can don't tell me the NBA can't control that. They can control that. They can do something about that. They can regulate what's happening with AAU and these other circuits and leagues. Got these kids running their knees off. Meanwhile, when we were growing up in previous generations, cats were playing all the sports. It wasn't just basketball, baseball, football, whatever. And those usually were the best athletes. But now we got cats specializing in playing basketball for so much throughout the year. They're not the best athletes anymore. They don't develop the IQ, the love of the game anymore, the love of sport, the love of competition anymore. But their bodies are broken. They're having ACL injuries and these injuries way sooner. And the NBA knows that. The NBA knows the benefits of playing other sports and doing other things because they're telling their global partners to do that. But locally, it ain't happening. What the hell is going on? Yeah, I believe it's intentional, NBA, because you want to grow. You want to grow international basketball. You do. That's fine. But don't act like it's a surprise. Fans may act surprised. It ain't a surprise. So as a result, right, to summarize all that, right, the Euros, they're coming in with more maturity. They're coming in with more fundamentals, better IQ, their effort, their toughness, and now their health, right? They're coming in with all that being in better shape than our guys. U.S. still has athleticism. We still have individual greatness, creativity with the ball. We still bring the personality, which the NBA absolutely needs if it's going to thrive on social media like it's thriving. You need that personality for sure. You need the hee-hee, as Magic Johnson said it. You need the fancy play. You need that. But the NBA and the domestic players, the local players, can have that plus the fundamentals. They used to have that in the fundamentals. Jordan was one of the flashier cats, but he was also the most fundamentally sound cat. So was Kobe. These cats knew how to hold a pivot foot and the head fakes. Like, they knew that. Our guys now are taking four-step travels, and they're getting away with it. So, yes, NBA. Yes, I believe the NBA is intentionally pushing for foreign players to be the best. Like, the NBA's wet dream, in my opinion, the NBA's dream would be for somebody like Joker or Luka to go on a Jordan-like run, a LeBron-type run, Magic Johnson-type run, where They win the MVPs and the finals, MVPs. Like, that's what the NBA would like to see. Like, the true face of the league, the NBA would prefer, in my opinion, the NBA would prefer the face of the league were one of these international cats. Because they're trying to grow the game globally. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you can't turn your back on who made the league. The U.S. guys. And who buys the league. U.S. fans. So they changed the rules, I believe, intentionally. They're intentionally turning a blind eye to the lack of development and coaching in the U.S. They're intentionally turning a blind eye to the lack of competition that our guys are playing with. They're not ready to compete with those big boys. They're not ready to be professional. The Euros are ready to be professional, man. You don't see these cats getting in trouble on social media. They don't have these fans messing with them. Not fans. These situations on social media. Messing with OnlyFans women. Nah, they don't got the baddies. They're not playing for the baddies, man. These guys are coming in. They're family men. Like, they just want to play basketball, dude. They like to hoop, like to have fun, and that's it. Because they're around adults, and they get to grow as adults from a younger age. Our guys are essentially playing with kids and being kids up until they get to the NBA, and you expect them to, boom, light switch, you're now an adult. No, you're just a kid with $50 million now. That's what the NBA thinks should happen. You expect somebody to be as professional as Luka when Luka's been playing professional ball since 16, hanging around professional players since 16. How? No. So our kids are going to make the kiddie mistakes because they went from being kids and AAU ball for however many years since they were 8 years old. Now it's just the NBA just seems like it's AAU ball with a lot of money. The NBA knows that. And they could have fixed that. And they can fix that. So it's going to get worse, y'all. If you're looking for, you know, some kind of bounce back for, you know, NBA players to, you know, start dominating the league again. I'm not saying the face of the league will never be another American player. That's not true. Okay. But if you're looking for American players to be the face of the league again, it may be few and far between. All right. Because the Euros are coming in hungrier. It's not just the Lucas and the Jokers, you know. Again, the Euros, I'm saying that term. But those guys, you know, the Euros used to come in and we could still out-athlete them. Because while they were good basketball players, our guys could still run faster, jump higher, right? We could out-athlete them. But now that you got these guys from the motherland coming in from Africa, we're not going to be able to out-athlete these cats anymore. So we got to invest in developing basketball players. So, yeah, you could out-athlete Luka and still stay in the game with him because your athleticism kind of can overpower sometimes. Your athleticism can overpower the Joker. You jump so high, right? You're stronger, so on and so forth, right? But when you got the Joel Embiids coming in who know how to play basketball and the Greek freaks who give maximum effort and now you got the freakish athlete-looking pterodactyls like the Wimbies and you got other cats coming in, these cats got the athleticism of the American players with the fundamentals of the foreign players, the IQ of the foreign players. So your competition ain't just a slow Euro guy no more. Your competition is going to be more cats looking like Giannis and more cats looking like Wemby. That's your competition, American players. So we got to step our game up because those guys are going to keep coming. They are. So the Euros, you know, have taken the big man spots. The Jokers, the Nurkic, the Zubox. They're taking the fives, right? The slow big man. They're taking those spots. But the athlete guys, the athlete big men, yeah, the Africans are coming for those spots. Giannis and Wemby, they're coming for those spots. And so on and so forth. They're coming for those spots. Shangoon, forgot about Shangoon. Young up-and-coming cat for the Rockets. He's a baller. Shangoon has no chance coming up in the U.S. because he's a slow-footed white guy. He ain't running up and down the court at AAU, but on the basketball court, he's strong as hell and dominating these guys. He's only going to get better. So, yeah, spots are getting taken, man. And the thing is, the coaches now in the NBA and the GMs now, a lot of these guys are European now or they're not American, so they don't have that American lens on. They don't have that bias. They don't have that bias, y'all. So the U.S. got to come correct. We got to get better at developing. Those spots are getting taken. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And folks will say, well, you know, because the game is growing global, you know, salaries are growing. That's true. Because the game is globalizing, revenue is growing, salaries are growing. But what's happening is as salaries grow, less American players are there to enjoy that salary. So those big salaries are going to be going to cats from overseas. And less American players are going to be able to enjoy those fat NBA salaries in the future if we don't do something about it. And the NBA is helping. I'm sorry. The NBA has kind of turned its back on domestic players. Like now, right, I talked about the coaches and the GMs. Like you got the Euro cats are taking the old head spots, the veteran spots on the bench. You got Boban on the bench in Houston. You got Davis Bertans, who was on the bench in, with the Thunder. I think he just got traded. But you got the Euros actually taking the old head vet spots because they're preparing for more Euros to come in and the Euro vets to be there to help them along the way, man. It ain't a conspiracy. I don't give a damn what y'all say. It's not a conspiracy. I truly believe that's what's happening. The NBA has neglected the domestic player, the local player. It's pushing all its cars towards going global, and as a result, it's turned its back on the domestic players. So, should we be scared? I don't know. I don't think we should be scared of European growth. I mean, I like watching these guys play. If they can hoop, they can hoop. But what happens if Euros do take over? Well, first of all, no allows becomes right because now our argument is the NBA champion can call themselves the world champion because 90%+ of the players are American. So America, you know, essentially ran the NBA. But what happens if it's no longer America running the NBA? Well, no allows gets to be right. The NBA can't call themselves world champions anymore. But maybe a new league is needed here. Because now there's so much talent. Is there time to expand or expand teams or another league? Series A, Series B league? I don't know. Is the global ecosystem messed up, right? If all of these foreign players start coming in and taking spot, is the global ecosystem of basketball messed up? Because now a lot of American cats who would have made the NBA, they're not going to make the NBA no more, so they have to go overseas. So they end up taking overseas spots from American guys who typically knew in college they would go play overseas. But now they got to compete with NBA guys American guys who would have normally made the NBA in the past, but now they're not talented enough. They have to go overseas. So that messes up the whole ecosystem. So the Adam Silver meme that floats around on social media, get ready to learn Chinese, buddy. That becomes a reality for a lot more players. Get ready to learn Chinese, buddy. A lot of players have to go over. A lot more players, American players, a lot more American players are going to have to go overseas now and get ready to learn Chinese because their spots in the NBA are going to get taken by Euros. The ecosystem is going to shift. Now, the question is, will the American audience accept all of these Europeans? Will the American audience stay with all these Europeans coming in and the influx? I think, yeah. I think they will because the NBA audience is a younger audience, unlike the NFL audience, who's more conservative and older. I think the NBA audience is more willing to shift. That's my thought. But it's a risk still. But these Euros and these guys, these foreign guys are coming in. They're well-spoken. Their English is on point. Like Wemby barely has an accent, right? They don't need an interpreter no more, unlike baseball. In the MLB, where cats have been in the league 10, 15 years and they still need an interpreter. Sammy Sosa going Sammy Sosa going to court and talking about he doesn't understand English, so he needs an interpreter. He was just clowning, though. He was trolling. But the foreign guys coming to the NBA, they don't need an interpreter no more. They speak English well. Even the ones that don't speak English initially, they pick it up so fast. Zubox, if you listen to Zubox's rookie year, and Zubox sounds like some regular old Southern cat now talking. Whereas before, he kind of struggled. But these cats now, more and more, are coming in speaking English perfectly well. So they're going to be able to be marketed by Nike and these other companies because they're going to speak English. They're going to be marketable. So that's not going to be a problem for the companies to market them. And I think the American audience will accept them more because the American audience is more mixed. They're younger, Gen Zers or whatever that generation is. They're more accepting of, you know, of the foreign concept because they watch a ton of soccer, and soccer is just everybody everywhere plays. So I don't know if that's going to be a problem, but hey, that's something to look out for. Will the American audience stay and pay for cats who ain't American? I think they will, but that's a chance that they're taking, the NBA is going to have to take, or that the NBA is taking. But here's a question, another question, probably a little bit more serious question. Do you lose a social influence, the cultural influence of having American players? Whether it's social media, the social media influence, like things like Black Lives Matter. Like if it's a league of 90% foreign players, like the EPL, right? Those who are familiar with the English Premier League, it's like 20%. I was reading like 20% English players in the EPL. So let's say the NBA is 20% American players and 80% foreign players. Does the league waste their time putting Black Lives Matter on the court? Because these owners don't want to do that crap anyway. These owners are conservative themselves. They don't give a damn about these players like that. So does the league waste their money on Black Lives Matter stuff and doing all these things and merchandise if the league is 80, 90% foreign? That's crazy, right? That's crazy. So does the league lose its cultural influence if most cats don't give a damn because they weren't born here? They don't care about Black Lives Matter. They don't care about some of these things that affect America, American society. They didn't grow up with that, so they don't really care. Or they may not care. I shouldn't say they don't care. They may not care. Because we don't know if they care or not. They may not care. So yeah, if the Europeans take over, there's some questions that are going to have to be answered. Things are going to be weird. Like, are American fans okay with watching the NBA, but it's just EuroLeague West, EuroLeague North America? Will American fans buy that product? I don't know. I don't know. So what can we do? What can we do? Besides preparing our kids to learn Chinese, buddy. That meme cracks me up every time I see it. The NBA could limit foreigners, but they're not going to do that. I was reading on this. Did you know China only allows 4 foreign players per team? Like, they keep their stuff in-house. And as you watch China League highlights, you're like, man, I could play in China right now. But no, the China CBA only allows 4 foreign players per league, per team. And I think I was reading like they can't play, the foreign players, only one can play at a time. Like they have some specific rules. China has some specific rules because they want to grow their own talent. All right. I don't advise the NBA doing that, but because they're trying to grow global, obviously, and make more money. But they could be like China and close it off, close society. Like literally only like NBA cats. You're not going to find too many randoms, you know, go play in China. It's a closed circuit, closed situation. So in the short term, we're not going to see that much change in the NBA, all right? It's going to be a slow process, slow developing process, right? Couple cats come in, add in, you know, back and forth, come and go every year. So it's not going to be an obvious, oh my God, tomorrow, you know, the league is 80, 90% Euro. But in the short term, we have to get ourselves together. Parents, right now, you need to get your stuff together. If your kid is playing AAU travel ball, you need to get on top of that coach, right? If your kid is playing AAU ball and he can't dribble with his left hand, get somebody else, right? Find another team. If your coach is not teaching your kid the fundamentals of basketball, find another team, find another coach. Parents need to stay on top of their kids' development, because a lot of these coaches that you're paying and you're putting your teams on, a lot of these coaches are not invested in your kids' development and future. So parents are going to, the onus is going to have to be on you to watch out for your kid. But it's likely that nobody else is, unless your kid is already looking like Anthony Edwards. But it's likely that nobody else is invested in your kid becoming the best basketball player they can become. So parents are going to have to do better. Coaches, American coaches, you guys are going to have to do better too. You guys are going to have to do the right thing by the players that you're coaching and coach them, teach them spacing and teach them how to cut, teach them their pivot feet and not to travel. Teach them all of that. Take the coaching seriously and not just the money that comes along with having an AAU team. Robin families left and right. But in a long term, to have a true change, I think the NBA is going to have to step in. They do. The NBA is going to have to say, hey, man, we see the differences. We see the differences in cats coming over. The NBA is going to have to say, all right, enough is enough. We're going to have to take control back away from Nike and Adidas and these guys. Like, we're going to have to step in and say, if you're going to coach AAU, you have to do X, Y, Z. And you're going to, we're going to have to do it by the numbers. X, Y, Z results. No child left behind like they do in school. Thanks, George Bush. We're going to have standards. If you're going to be coaching basketball, if you're going to have a basketball program, and if you're going to have a circuit, whatever it is, we're going to have standards. The NBA is going to have standards. Go back into the neighborhoods. Go back into finding kids from all walks of life and all different shapes of sizes to play basketball. Not just the uber athletes who can dunk and windmill and do all this stuff. Grow the pot. So then the cream will rise to the top. I don't know if it's academies. You know, people propose academies. I don't know if academies really going to work in the U.S. with the way things are now. But the NBA can certainly have a hand in making things right. Again, I get it. You want the games to grow globally, but you can't neglect the home team, man. You can't neglect the guys that's gotten you this far. So that's my thoughts on this, y'all. This was an enjoyable topic to look into. I appreciate Adam Silver and what he's doing and growing the game. He's forward thinking. He's a smart cat. Yo, Adam, if you ever see or hear this, don't neglect the homies, man. Don't neglect the American players. Because it seems like that. It seems like in the process of the NBA growing externally and growing overseas, it seems like you've turned your back on the American players, the American youth. They have to fend for themselves. They have to develop themselves. And that ain't going to work. It ain't going to work for the betterment of American basketball. I hope y'all enjoyed this, man. I had a good time. I like the European players. I do. I mean, Giannis is one of my favorite cats to watch. He has no J, but his intensity, I love it. It's crazy watching Luka. He has an old man game with a sidestep. I like these guys. I think Wemby's going to be great. But right now, there's more support for the foreign guys and ensuring that they succeed once they make it to the league versus the guys who are home. And I just wish we would do something about that. All right, y'all. I'm going to leave it there. Appreciate y'all watching once again. As always, don't forget to like, share, comment. Let me know what y'all think. But y'all be good. I'm going to catch you guys next time. Mike, Sports in the Real Shit. Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.